Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. Guys are getting more and more familiar with the system. Guys are building confidence. If you combine kind of all those factors, you know, you tend to score points. And these are good to build off of. We're not where we want to be. There's certain, I mean, situations today, I think we could have been a better on third down. But it's good to kind of get this next step going, and just got to continue this progress.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's, live today from Music City Autoplex. Plenty of reaction to the Titans' victory over the Patriots. 34-10, the final. Finally seeing this offense turn a corner over the last couple of weeks, really dating back to the London game, where the offense played well against the Chargers. That was a loss, but they've now won two straight after the bye, two wins in 6 days over the Cowboys and the Patriots yesterday. And the guy we turned to at the start of the year when the Titans made the hire for LaFleur was Dan Orlovsky, who finished up his career with the Rams and inside the LaFleur system, with the McVay system out in L.A. And Dan Orlovsky of ESPN joins us now on the Midday 180. Dan, thank you for the time. How are you?
I'm doing good, bud. How are you, man?
Great.
We're a cutting-edge show. We are a cutting-edge show. We like to pride ourselves on helping discover talent. And we established a relationship with you early on after you started tweeting such excellent stuff. And you have had incredible staying power in Nashville based on the interview we did with you. I think it was the day LaFleur was hired, when we talked to you in the lovely scenic food court in the Mall of America. And you illustrated for us how the installation of this offense would go, and how it might be slow going early, but there would come a time. I talked by text a little bit this morning, and you said that time is now. So tell us about the evolution of how they've gotten here. And I think what Titans fans want to hear most is that there's no looking back now.
Yeah, I mean, I really think the moment, at least for my eyes, when I watch this offense, I really think one of the growing steps was that Eagles game. That's probably, 7 weeks ago now, because there were signs. It wasn't a sustained thing, but there were signs that, you know, Matt LaFleur, their play caller, was starting to understand his guys a little bit more with the way he wanted to use the offense. And then Marcus Mariota was feeling it a little bit better. Corey Davis, and say, so that was the moment where I said, okay, that's the first time where it looks like it should. And then it's really grown, like you guys had mentioned, since then. And, you know, one of the things that I was very impressed with over the past 2 weeks and really stood out yesterday was, you know, Matt LaFleur, listen, you know, calling plays in the NFL is so hard. And really, for me, the biggest thing that makes it so hard is you've got to really call plays that your players feel confident executing, but it also puts them in positions to be successful. And so I'm watching the game yesterday, and I'm watching LaFleur consistently use this horizontal play action stretch where, you know, a lot of times when we talk play action pass, it's okay, get the linebackers to step up and throw the balls up over their head. So it's this vertical stretch. But LaFleur was using the two-back set and the hard kind of horizontal sideline to sideline play action stretch to open up these windows, not behind linebackers or second level defenders, but really in between them. And so that was, you know, for me, one of those things where I was like, LaFleur's really starting to understand what his offensive line likes play action wise. His quarterback sees well play action wise. His receivers run the routes well play action wise. So yeah, I mean, they're in a groove right now, and certainly trending in the right direction and closer to not looking back than they've been certainly at any point this year.
Dan, can you tell a difference with Marcus Mariota and his play as he has gotten healthier and he eliminated the glove that he had on his hand the last couple of games? Or are you just simply seeing a better understanding with him and the entire offense? Or physically, are you seeing anything different with how he's making throws?
Well, it's a combination of both, you know, but when he goes through the injury and has the glove issue, I was in Detroit when Matthew Stafford did something to his, you know, the one of the tendons that was on the top of his middle finger, and he had to wear a glove for lack of grip purposes. And I just remember you saw the lack of confidence in both the physical and the mental because your brain was somewhere else. No matter how much people want to say, like, oh, don't think about it, it's your throwing hand. You're naturally going to think about it. And so it took away the confidence of his not only ability to throw the football, but also where he was throwing the football or how he was throwing the football. And so Marcus no longer having to concern himself with the health of his hand or the glove, certainly more confident with where he was going with the football and how he was throwing the football. For me, guys, really, you know, I'm such a big person on with this offense of listening to your feet. And you guys have heard me say that, and the people of Nashville have heard me say that. And I felt the first 5 or 6 weeks, he was struggling to listen to his feet. Like, your feet are going to tell you where and when to throw the football. And it's really about what he's doing in the pocket. And when I watched him yesterday, he's getting such a better confidence level with listening to his feet. And that sounds silly, and it does, and I get that. But a quarterback that listens to his feet is a quarterback that is confident in them as well. And so when I'm watching him drop back in the drop back game and throw the ball on one hitch to a crosser, throw the ball on one hitch to a deep corner route, throw the ball on one hitch to an inbreaker, all that I'm seeing is going, this kid's starting to listen. He's not listening to the defense. He's not listening to his receivers. He's listening to his feet. And that's really where it stood to me, was the confidence to do that.
How do the feet get him there? Talk very elementally to us about how they get to the point where he's listening to them.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, every play is like, you know, a puzzle piece. And, you know, you get the puzzle pieces make the picture. And you can't get to the second puzzle piece without putting the first one down. And so your first hitch in the pocket, when I say hitch, I mean he gets to the top of the drop, whether it's a 3 or 5 or 7 step drop. But more often than not, it's a 5 or 7 step drop in the pocket. You get to the top or the last step, and that hitch that we see guys take up in the pocket or towards the receiver, that's hitch number one. That's really puzzle piece number one. And so if you try to put down puzzle piece number two before ever getting to puzzle piece number one, it's a mess. If you don't hitch number one and let that ball go and try to get to number two too quickly, you're going to have a puzzle that's a mess. If you don't get the ball out on time and hitch number one and you go to hitch number two, your puzzle piece is a mess. So that's the thing, is like he gets to his first hitch and the ball is coming out, because if you get to that, let's say it's a big in route and you don't let that ball out on one hitch, you might get away with it here and there. And you might get away with it versus a lesser team or a lesser defense or a lesser talented DB. But that ball, if you wait in that second or third hitch, if you're holding on to it, it's like this, guys. Quarterbacks, we take pictures, okay? And we've got to take a picture in a blink of a moment and trust what we see and let the ball go. We can't confirm the picture. And that's what the hitches do. You hitch, hitch, hitch. You're confirming that picture. What's also happening when you're taking those hitches is the picture is changing. And so when you're listening to your feet, you're taking a picture, and in that moment, your feet are telling you, let the ball go, and you don't have to take another hitch to confirm it because the picture's changed anyway. He's trusting his feet to tell him that the picture's correct, and then he does not need to confirm it.
Dan Orlovsky, our guest. Dan, finally, what does it tell you that they had the success they did yesterday with Mariota only running it twice for 21 yards?
Yeah, I mean, you still are going to utilize him as a weapon, and the big thing is protecting him. But you're for me, it's a coach understanding what we're good at, a coach understanding, and I told you guys this about Matt LaFleur, his greatest strength is how to attack defenses. That's his greatest thing, is how do I want to attack these defenses? So you're seeing all those two-back personnels and the multiple movements before the snap and post-snap. You know, he's really starting to get an idea of, okay, I want to put pressure on a defense both horizontally and vertically. And so you don't have to use Marcus as your greatest weapon, and his health can be an added asset. They'll use him in certain situations as a weapon for sure, but it's good to see all the pieces that they do have being utilized. And that's the big thing, is the coach, Matt LaFleur, really understanding, okay, I don't have to be so reliant on Marcus to bail us out, because all the pieces that we do have are starting to understand this, and so is my quarterback.
Dan, finally, you had mentioned, hey, watch for the middle of the season, around week 8 or so, for the offense to turn for the better and really get into a rhythm. Is there a next level now, another layer that you're now watching for, now that it seems like they've made that turn?
Yeah, I mean, if they get to the point, and I don't know if it'll happen this year, but if they get to the point where they're really controlling the game with whatever they want to do, and they're not surprising themselves or the fans or the coaches by it, but, you know, like, the offenses that are great in the NFL are the Chiefs and the, you know, the Bears are up there, and the Saints and, you know, the Rams. They control the game. And the thing will be this, is every coach talks about, you know, I want to be balanced on offense. But nowadays, you know, we often think of, oh, that's 50% run and 50% pass. That's a bunch of baloney. It's really finding the four or five guys that you want to get to the ball, and it doesn't matter if you hand it off to them or throw it to them. As long as there's balanced touches between all your weapons, that keeps you in control of the football game. So if they get to that point this year where, you know, that balance is there and they're distributing the ball, no matter if it's a run or a pass or a jet sweep or whatnot, and they're in complete control of the football game, that's when you go, wow, this is going to be really, really cool for however long this group is together.
We saw Derrick Henry as the closer yesterday of a big win. But before that, they've been having trouble finding ways to use him. We've asked you this before. With 9 games of evidence now, you still think they can find a way? Word was they tried to deal him at the deadline. You still think there's a role for him here, or they just find one for him for the remainder of the season to move a different direction?
Yeah, it's probably the latter. You know, I mean, utilize him in the red zone like they did with the direct snap yesterday, which was great. You guys, we just sat here and talked for 10, 15 minutes about, you know, how they've made such strides as an offense and all these pieces are coming together, and he doesn't seem to be a part of that right now. So I don't know if that really is a great fit for the offense and the offense to he, if being offense, at least as it looks right now, is being honest about it. So I'd imagine they'll pick their spots for him and then, you know, probably head off in a different direction for both parties come next year.
Follow Dan on Twitter at DanOrlovsky7. Dan, what is your schedule like today? Where can we watch you on ESPN?
I was on Get Up this morning up in New York City, so I'm just about getting home from there. I'll go home and chill a little bit on Monday, you know, spend some time with my kiddos and fam, and then I'll get ready for the week coming forward. And I might be on Get Up again at some point this week, but I'll be doing my college football game Saturday night, and I'm on Get Up every Monday morning. So
awesome.
Hey, you haven't let up. You're fantastic. Yeah. We appreciate it. Don't forget the little guys.
I appreciate you guys. No. I am the little man, so I appreciate you guys.
Thank you for fitting us in, man. We appreciate it, Dan.
You got it, buddy.